Our special guest tonight, Bill Bean, as we talk about Friday the 13th, spiritual attacks and evil entities. And we'll be right in it with Bill when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Bill Bean is a world-renowned spiritual deliverance minister, exorcist, and is known as the Spiritual Warrior. He's also an internationally known author, lecturer, paranormal supernatural expert. Bill has been featured on TLC's Haunting series, as well as Lifetime's movie network series, I Was Possessed. He is anointed in the area of spiritual warfare and deliverance ministry that addresses anything from curses, blocks, attachments, oppression, obsession, to a possession by demonic spirits. He's performed hundreds of exorcisms and spiritual deliverances worldwide. Welcome back to Coast, Bill Bean. Bill, it's always a pleasure, my friend.
It's my honor and pleasure to be back with you, George. It really is great. I hope you're doing well.
I am doing well. I have not been spiritually attacked, knock on wood.
And praise God.
Can individuals fight off any of these spirits that come at them?
Absolutely. And, you know, it really comes down to, and I'm not here to preach a sermon, and I'm certainly not here to impose my will or twist anybody's arm to do anything, but what I can do is share how I live my life. And I live my life in something called warrior mode, and that is operating in faith, strength, and courage. And so by truly having a connection with God in that way and operating in that way, I refuse to lose. Now, it doesn't mean I'm perfect, and it doesn't mean my life is perfect, but I could tell you this, George, and you know this from all the times I've been on with you. My life is very good and very blessed, and my life is 50 times more blessed than it was ever cursed, and I can never thank God and praise him enough for that.
And I think a lot of that has to do with you. You made it that way, didn't you?
Absolutely. So, you know, when all those things were happening in my childhood and then into my younger years and even into my adult years, I was operating in a manner of the fear-based, trauma-based way of living and thinking because so many horrible things had happened to me in my family. And so I was operating on low frequency, low vibration. So all of life, whether people know this or understand this or not, it's true. All life operates on frequency and vibration. And if our vibration and frequency is high, then life is good. We're in the positive and we are moving forward. And that's certainly what God wants for us. But when we're on low, and I have been there, life is a challenge and nothing ever seems to go right. There's always a problem, a drama, a situation, never an answer. And it's as if the person has a black cloud over their head.
That's true. And when you're in the groove and things are clicking along for you, you know it. You can just feel it, can't you?
Oh, absolutely. And let me say this. Look, we're human beings. We all have challenges in life. I would be a liar if I sat here and said, oh, my life is perfect. I never have a problem. That's not true. Yeah. I have situations or problems that come up from time to time. But the difference is in operating by the power of God on this high frequency and high vibration, I'm able to meet those challenges. And by the power of God, my faith in God, I'm able to conquer those challenges. So my mentality, again, is this warrior mode, which is faith, strength, and courage. And so I feel that if God is with me and God is for me, nothing can stand against me. So that's how I'm able to operate in that warrior mode. So I refuse to lose, George. I'll never be a victim to anyone or anything ever again.
Good for you. What are some of the latest cases you've been working on, Bill?
Oh, my goodness. I just got back, and I have to say this. I told Tom, you were Tommy D this earlier. I had just gotten back from Florida, and I had a pretty severe case down there, and I had gotten home on a red eye in the wee hours of the morning. I slept till about noontime, and I had finished eating, and then all of a sudden, Tom Danheiser comes into my mind, and this was totally bizarre, and he came into my mind so strong that I had to literally go to my phone, and I checked, and sure enough, Tom had called me three times. Absolutely amazing. So that God is amazing, but I had a great trip to Florida, and I'm leaving in the morning for New York, so I'm just home for a little bit, right back out the door again. But the trip in Florida was very intense. It was amazing, and it was also very special to me because not only was I able to go down and God working through me to help deliver this couple, oh my goodness, George, they had some severe problems. And, you know, I have confidentiality with my clients, and I would never compromise that, but I will say this. The severe marital problem, and these people are good people. They're Christian people. They're good and productive people. The husband has a background, and I'm searching for a way to say this without saying too much.
Okay, I get it.
The husband had a background in working for the shadow agencies and
the deep state.
He did some really bad things. And so he carried that around with him for a long time. And he was also carrying post-traumatic. You know, he was a soldier. And he was carrying out missions, believe me. And I believed every word he said because I'm very good at reading people, George. And God gives me the spirit of discernment. So I know when something's true and it's not. And I believed every word that that man said to me. And so, therefore, in him carrying this post-traumatic stress disorder around for so long, it was affecting every aspect of his life. Now, on the surface, he and his wife monetarily were doing and are doing very well. They have a beautiful home and nice things. But what they were lacking was, and because of what he had gone through and what he was exposed to and what he had done, he could not have a close relationship with his wife. He has never had a close relationship with her or anybody else. They've been together for 40 years. And so can you imagine, George, this man carried this, he's carried this with him for all these years. They actually heard me on Coast to Coast Radio, one of the interviews with you, and they said that God, you know, they felt that God was really reaching out to them and touching their spirit and urging them to contact me. And they did, and I went there, and God worked through me to help them. But let me tell you, it was intense. It was not for the faint of heart, that's for sure. And boy, you know, everything came out on the table, and I spent quite a bit of time there. I mean, the entire night there. But I'm happy to tell you that through it all, and these people were in misery. And not only were they in misery, they were suffering demonic problems as well, because when people are on this low frequency and low vibration and they're in the negative in that way, and you have the fear-based, trauma-based, everything was there. All the ingredients were there for demonic forces to be present, and they certainly were. But after being there and getting all this resolved, I performed spiritual deliverances for both of them. I rebaptized both of them. I went through the entire house and on the property as well and cleared everything out by the power of God, binding and rebuking and casting out these demonic forces. And what I do also, George, is in the process of that, I don't just bind and cast them out. I bind and cast them out and ask God's angels to come and take them into custody and carry them off and deposit them back into the pits of hell where they belong. Jeez. So, you know, you have to be very careful with doing this kind of work because you don't want to bind and cast out and then have them go into somebody else's house or somebody. So we have to be very careful with doing these kinds of things and very thorough as well. So it was a marathon session with them, but I'm happy to tell you that when I arrived there, I thought there's no hope for these people. They are just absolutely, I think they're too far gone. And I never have that kind of attitude or mentality. But in this case, my goodness, the things that were being said and coming out, I couldn't see any hope for it. But God makes the impossible possible. And so, you know, on the one end, the husband is carrying this post-traumatic stress. The other end, the wife is harboring great anger and bitterness for all these years of all of these things, you know, and my goodness, it was like just a pot that exploded.
Tension everywhere.
Oh, George, you could have cut it with a knife. And but I'm very, very thankful that they had enough trust in me, in knowing that I was there for them and I really cared. And even though in my mind I'm thinking, my goodness, I don't see how this works, God was still there. And God made the impossible possible. And the bottom line is, not only was I able, through the power of God, to perform the baptisms and, you know, the deliverances, I also performed a semblance of a marriage ceremony, again, reuniting this man with his wife.
How about that?
It was so powerful. It was so wonderful. It was so blessed. And I can never thank God and praise God enough for it. So where it was so awful with these people in the beginning, God worked through me to bring them back together as man and wife. The wife forgave him for everything. And he, through the power of God, had all of that garbage lifted off of him. And by the time it was over with, these were like two totally different people. And I will be keeping in touch with them. They're wonderful people. God bless them. I wish them the best. And I left there feeling 10 feet tall because I know they're okay and they're going to be okay.
So they put their 40 years behind them and started new.
Yes. It was That's amazing, great. George. If ever there was something to record to show people the true power of God when we really have that kind of faith, that would have been the thing to record.
Well, with Bill Bean, by the way, he's got a book out called The Connection, which we talked with Bill about some time ago. And Bill, how's that going for you? How's it affecting folks?
It's amazing. It's, you know, I've written four books, George. This is by far the best book that I've written out of the four. And, you know, everybody, when they think about me as an author, they think about the first book, Dark Force. And
nice.
I'm grateful for that, and I'm thankful. But it was a disturbing story. You know, I told about what had taken place with my family and how my family was destroyed by demonic forces, and I was nearly destroyed as well. But as I said to you several other times, and I'll say it again, I could not be where I'm at right now had I not been there. So it was all a part of the journey. And so with this book, it's sort of a synopsis in the beginning. It's a synopsis of the previous three books. So, you know, I have to show the reader where I was.
Sure.
In order to show them where I'm at now. And, George, I'm telling you, I sent you a copy, and I sent a copy for Tom. And I know how busy you are, but I certainly hope that one day you'll get a chance to read it. And I would love to hear your thoughts about it, but I have to say this, and I thank God for it, and I don't say this in a boastful way. Every single review, and I've got many, has been just amazing. This book, and this is by the power of God, that is, it's reaching and touching so many people in such a wonderful, life-changing way that, again, I'm eternally grateful to God for this, and I'm so thankful that I was able to. And, George, what I normally do when I write a book, I have this thing, and this comes from a saying many, many years ago from my cousin who told me, outline and define, and that saying stayed with me. And that's how I write. So I have to outline. I have to, you know, get everything, all the thoughts that I'm going to do, mm-hmm. I put it down, and then I have to shape that into a story. And so usually when I'm writing, I'll spend 2 to 4 hours a day and or night, each night until it's done. You cannot procrastinate about these things because you'll never get it done then. So that's how I work. But on this particular book, The Connection, there were days, George, that I spent 16 hours a day in front of that computer typing until my eyes hurt so bad that they felt like they were swelling.
Yeah, that's exhausting.
Yeah, and I had to do it. And it's amazing because, as you know, I'm always traveling. I travel around the country constantly helping people. And I had this lull back in January for the first time in God knows how long. I was home from mid-January to mid-February. And that's when God really put it on my spirit that I needed to take that time and write this book. So I spent some days, it was 16 hours a day, typing up this book. And so between mid-January and mid-February, I had it done. And I thank Annette Munich from Stellium Books for publishing it and getting it out there. And it was just amazing how it all came together so fast and how it flowed as well. And you know you're on to something good when it just flows in that way. So, again, I'm so super happy about it. And I'm excited and I'm proud to present something that is having a life-changing effect on some people.
Super. And fitting that we would have you on Friday the 13th to talk about some very strange customs and origins there.
Amazing, right? And, you know, again, the origins. Now, this is interesting because I was wrong about this. When I first, my original thoughts on Friday the 13th were, I always thought this for some reason, that the origins of this came from Jacques de Molay, the Grand Master Mason. I thought he was put to death on Friday the 13th, and I thought he put a curse out from that. But I'm wrong about that, because I went and researched that, and that's not the case. And you know, by what I've researched, they're saying the origins are, it began with actually Jesus and the 12 disciples, saying that there were 13 people there, and they're saying that, you know, the superstition surrounding Friday the 13th is thought to originate with the Last Supper attended by 13 people, Jesus Christ and his 12 disciples. So it's saying the night before his crucifixion, you know, by the Roman soldiers, the number 13, therefore, is associated with Judas Iscariot. So that's where they're going with that, is that, you know, according to this, what I researched, is that they're putting this more connected with Jesus. But I, for some reason, George, and I'm no expert on it at all, so I certainly was wrong, but I always thought that it had something to do with Jacques de Molay and, you know, him being executed on that day.
We talked a lot about the superstitions last night on the program, Bill, and do you have any?
No, I don't, and I used to. I used to, very much so, before I got on this journey. And so my whole life changed to where, again, I had many superstitions, and I was afraid to do this and careful to do that and not to do this or that. But then as my faith grew stronger in God, you know, I have this truly, I don't just say these things, it's my way of life. I have this warrior mentality that I don't worry about anything and I don't fear anything because I have to keep going forward no matter what, and I have to be somebody for somebody every day of my life.
That's right. And if you falter or fall apart, everybody else will.
That's exactly right. So, you know, God has put a huge calling on my life, and I thank him and praise him for it, and I just have to keep on moving forward no matter what.
Bill's website, billbean.net, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. How many people do you think require some kind of spiritual guidance because of possession or demonic forces or attachment?
Well, you and I started to get into this a little bit the last time I was on with you. And
the clock,
it's my opinion that because of some of the technology that is present in our world, And it's great to have technology, and it's great to be able to advance and move forward. That's wonderful. But it's my opinion that the more technologically advanced we become, the worse off we are as a people.
Mm-hmm.
And so through technology, which, again, breaks down into frequency and vibration, if you have certain things out there in the technology world that can manipulate or interfere with a person's frequency and vibration, not only can it have an effect on that person's mind, it can have an effect on that person spiritually as well. Because again, it goes right back to what I said earlier about low frequency, low vibrations, and demons are drawn to that, and they will come in. And George, this is part of why I'm so busy now. I'm more busy than ever before, and so many people are being affected by just in so many, you know, different areas and walks of life in so many different ways. And people, some high-profile people have contacted me for help. You'd be shocked. I mean, it's just amazing.
I know we can't get the names from you, but I probably would be shocked, Bill. We're going to come back. We'll talk more than questions later on with Bill Bean as we talk about spiritual attacks on Coast to Coast AM. And we are back with Bill Bean. Bill, when you call yourself a spiritual warrior, exactly what does that mean?
Well, you know, and again, I got to give credit to Tommy D for that, because if you recall the time that you brought me out there for the Beyond Belief TV shows, it was Tom who said, "Hey, you're Bill Bean, the spiritual warrior," and that stuck.
He coined the phrase.
He sure did, and I thank him for it, and it really does apply, because that's who I am. And what that means, and I don't brag about anything, I'm not boasting about anything, this is This is truth, what I'm saying, and it's also confidence. And the reason I have this confidence is through my faith. And I give all the credit and glory to God, and it's His power that works through me. So I don't have, I'm not some something extraordinary. I don't have these superpowers. These superpowers come from God that works through me. And I'm telling you, George, someday I'll write a case, a book on my case files, and talk about some of these things. But it's truly extraordinary and remarkable, just in small reflection on some of the cases and some of the things that I've been through, but yet God has navigated me through all of it. So again, that phrase or that title of spiritual warrior, that goes right back to what I said, and being in that warrior mode, walking in that type of faith, strength, and courage. Therefore, I truly am a warrior for God, fighting against the powers of darkness. And again, it's all His power. It's not mine.
Bill, you've said that there are like 10 steps to victory. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, and these are 10 simple things that people can do in their life to improve their life. And I guarantee you what I'm saying is true, because when I started following in this way, you know, God made a total transformation in my life. So the 10 simple steps are, step one, obviously, is to make God first and have a true connection with God. You know, there's people that say, what do you, I go to church every Sunday, but, you know, my life is still lacking and this and that. It's wonderful to go to church. It's wonderful to gather and assemble and worship with a group of people if you're really, truly going there to connect with God and to praise God. But if you're going there for status, if you're going there because...
Or to fall asleep in the pew or something.
Exactly. Then you might as well go spend your time someplace else, because you really don't have a strong connection with God. So people need to look in the mirror and really be honest with themselves. So if you can develop that strong connection with God, look out. The sky is the limit. So step two is follow the path and the teachings of Jesus Christ. So obviously, if we're making God first, Jesus is going to be coming into our lives and into our hearts and into our spirits. And step three is building your faith, which is a result of those two things right there. Step four, it's very important to forgive. And George, we've covered this before, and I told you in previous shows, that I had harbored great hatred towards my own father for some of the things that he had done.
Yeah.
But I'm so thankful and was so thankful that I was able to forgive him before his untimely death in 1987. And forgiveness, and this was really one of the main messages from Jesus, is that forgiveness is every bit as much for us as it is for the person that we're forgiving. Because if we hold on to that kind of hatred and ugliness, it's a spiritual poisoning. We cannot move forward in life, and we are giving power to those who we have these horrible feelings towards. So it's very important to forgive. And step five is to find your purpose in life. It's the greatest thing in life, and it certainly was for me, once God revealed to me that this is my purpose in life, to be this spiritual warrior for Him, to help others. It is so liberating. It is such a great feeling to know why you're here and what you are supposed to do. And step six is using the power of positive thinking. And for many years, I was in the fear-based, trauma-based way and the negative, low-frequency, low-vibration way of thinking and living. I can recall days, George, to where I would wake up and declare that I was going to have a horrible day, and guess what? I did have one.
You did have one. That's exactly right.
I invoked it by the power of my spoken words into my life. So now what I do, and it's, you know, when we conclude this interview, before I go to sleep, I say two prayers every morning, and often I don't get to bed before 4 or 5 a.m. every morning. And no matter how tired I am, I say these two prayers. One is a spiritual warfare prayer, and the second prayer is a daily declaration of victory. I declare victory in each and every day, and I will declare victory in each and every day for the rest of my life. And in doing that, I'm invoking the power of God over my life in a positive way. So step seven is setting goals. It's very important to set goals.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes right back to what I said earlier about outlining and defining. And if you could set goals like that, if you believe it and you're focused on it, then you can achieve it and nothing will stop you. And you should have that mindset and mentality that you won't allow anything to stop you from achieving your goal. If it's something that you really want, then you have to work very hard to get it. And that's fine, too, because it'll be worth all the blood, sweat, tears, and hard work when you get to the finish line and you have achieved whatever goal or goals that may be. Step eight is to give. It is so important for us to give with a glad heart. And I have to say this to you, George. In some of today's churches, it really, really burns me up that, and some of these televangelists as well, they trick people or shame people into giving money. And the narrative is, you better get that money. I saw a pastor one time say, now, you little old ladies, even if you've only got $5 left, you get on that phone and send that $5, and God will send that back to you threefold. Well, I mean, that's a total lie. And there's no blessing on that gift at all. So if people are coerced,
jeez,
or shamed into giving that way, there's no blessing on that gift. So we must give with a glad heart, and we must have, you know, good intentions in giving, because there's joy in that. I would much rather give to someone than to receive. And I'm going to say this right now, George. I've never said this on your show before, but I'm going to say it now. Yes, I've written 4 books, and I like selling books. That's wonderful. And my current book, The Connection, actually reached number one on Amazon back in March. And that's wonderful. But I'm going to say this now to the millions of people out there listening. If you can afford to buy my book, great, fantastic. Go to BillBean.net and you can order it. But if you can't afford it, go to BillBean.net, send me an email. You can email me directly from the site, and I will send you a free PDF internet copy, because that's how strongly I feel about that book, and I feel that everybody, and I certainly want everybody to have the blessings in life that God has bestowed upon me. So I'll do anything I can to help anybody in any way.
For people, if they follow these 10 steps pretty religiously, what happens to them as a person?
Everything changes, George, because it is changing the frequency and vibration from the lower negative to the higher positive. And when we are on that high frequency, high vibration in the positive, it's certainly keeping God first and allowing Him to guide our life, there's nothing that could stop us. And let me say this also. This doesn't mean that you have to go around preaching Bible verses to people and beating them over the head with the Bible. I'm not saying that. That is phony, because that'll wear off after a while. You have to be real, and that's what I am. I'm real with people. I tell people, look, I'm not perfect. I try to be the best that I can be and do the best that I can do every day, but I fall short just like everybody else. I'm a human being. But we must make the effort. We can't just, you know, I go back to the book of James on this, to where he says, silly, vain man, don't you realize that faith without the works is dead? So you can talk all day long about how great you are and quote scripture after scripture. That's wonderful. But if you're not really living that, and you're not really helping others and trying to be an example to others, well, then that's dead. It's deader than yesterday. So it's certainly something to keep in mind. And step nine is to be grateful for everything. And as I said to you earlier in this interview, George, my life is 50 times more blessed than it's ever been cursed. Yes, I suffered. My family suffered as well. But God has transformed my life, and my life is so wonderful and so blessed now. Those things are so far removed, it's almost like it happened to somebody else. So God does make the impossible possible, and He makes a way where there isn't a way. And then step 10 is warrior mode. Once you are in step with those 9 steps, then step 10 will be automatic for you, walking in that faith, strength, and courage, warrior mode. And you just have that boldness and ferocity. One day, I've been saying this. This is something that I've been procrastinating on. I really need to bring into reality. Is I've been talking about launching this T-shirt line, this Bill Bean T-shirt line of warrior mode 24/7 and refuse to lose on the back. I'm going to be doing that in the near future because, again, I think certainly in the time that we're living in now, George, it is so important for people to have a new mindset. You know, America is so divided right now, and it's heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm,
and
sure
I
is.
Wish people could just take a step back. Take a step back. Whether you support President Trump or you don't, take a step back and say, wait a minute now. We're Americans. We are blessed to be in the greatest country on the earth. And what if, and I'm going to kind of loosely take from what President Reagan said many, many years ago, what if we were suddenly faced with an alien threat or some type of threat outside of our understanding and outside of our world? I'll guarantee you people would come together then from all races, colors, and backgrounds.
They better.
Come together.
They sure better.
So I say to people, and I urge people, please stop this. Look for the good and look in the mirror at yourself and say, what can I do to make a positive change? People, we have free will. God gave us free will, and we're never going to there's always going to be disagreements, and not everybody's going to be on the same page, and that's all right. We can agree to disagree, but let's love one another. Let's have respect and decency and kindness and compassion and try and reach out and help one another. Let's try and build one another up, and if we could do that, we could suddenly come together, and our country would be greater than ever.
You had mentioned that the president had sent you a couple letters.
Yeah, it's true, George. And look, I support President Trump. And, you know, a lot of people in the past, I've taken some heat for this and saying, how can you support him? He's a this, he's a that. Well, all I know is the man is the most hated figure that I've ever seen in the office of the presidency.
In a long time.
That tells me something. I mean, I think he's even more hated than Ronald Reagan, and Ronald Reagan was my favorite president. You know, so that tells me that he's not part of the gang. It's not a good act. You know, some could say, oh, he's playing a part. It's a very good. It's not a good act. There's genuine hatred for this man from all over the place. So I do support him, and I pray for him, and I pray for his family. And my first letter to him was to let him know that I was praying for him and his family, and the Vice President Pence and his family as well.
Did he know who you were?
I really don't know, George. I you know, I would say no. Who? I mean, you know, he's Donald Trump. He knows millions of people. I don't know if he knew who I was or whatever. But I will say this: it was probably a week later that I got a message back, and he said, hi, Bill. Thank you so much. I truly appreciate you praying for Melania and I, and both Melania and I appreciate this. And God bless you. God bless America. It was a short message, and I'm sure he had his secretary type it up, but it was coming from him because think about this.
Did he sign it?
He did sign it. And so that was the first message. The second, I had sent him a letter with a copy of my new book, The Connection. And I would say 2.5 weeks, no, it was about a month. A month later, and this was several weeks ago, and it was on a Saturday, my wife said, you have a letter here from the White House.
Huh.
And I opened it up, and it was from him again, thanking me for the book, and him and Melania really appreciated my wonderful gift to them.
Amazing.
Incredible. George, so people could say what they want to say about him, but I have to say this right now. That man took the time out of his busy schedule to actually acknowledge me and send me two letters of thanks for prayers and for a gift. He didn't have to do that.
He did that during his tweets.
No. Right.
I'm kidding.
I mean, these were actual letters that came from the White House.
But I mean, if he's got time for tweets, he's got time to write you a letter, Bill.
But, George, I mean, isn't it amazing that I didn't expect to hear anything back
of
from him?
I'm not.
Just letting him know
not.
That, you know, I was.
I'm amazed
really
that he even got it, you know?
Yeah.
With the volume of mail that they probably get.
Absolutely incredible. It's amazing. So, again, people are free to feel the way they feel and believe the way that they want to believe. We are free people. God bless us with free will. But I ask people, especially our youth, please take a step back, consider the situation. I have a file on the good things that President Trump has done since he's been in office, and it is a very extensive file. He's done a lot of great things, and for people who think otherwise, I urge you to do some research into that and give the man a chance. And even if you would never support him, let's support each other as Americans and try and move forward together, because I'm telling you, there are things happening in our world that are being unleashed by the devil himself, and I truly believe that God is allowing this for a short time. I truly believe, George, through technology and devices such as CERN and D-Wave computers and things of that nature, that the devil and his demons and human minions on this earth, and they know who they are, and more importantly, God knows who they are behind some really sinister and dastardly things that are taking place. And I think this has a great hand in influencing the minds of some people in the negative.
We're going to come back and take phone calls with you next on Coast to Coast AM.